My excuses. I'll read the scripture out for our camp theme. Through mighty signs and wonders. We're in Romans 15, 19. You don't need to turn there again. Through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God. So that from Jerusalem and round about unto Illyricum, I've fully preached the gospel of Christ. And as we've heard amongst the camp talks dotted around the place, ultimately, this is about this passage, this verse, is about the proofs. Okay, so ultimately, this verse is about the proofs to show the purpose of God displaying His power. And it kind of reminds me of the passage in John 9 where Jesus is asked by His disciples. There was a blind man there, and he was asked, "Who sinned here? Was it this man or his parents?" I'm sure you'd recall the story. And he says, Jesus answered in verse 3, Jesus answered, neither has this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. And so we see that that healing, there was a healing that was required to show God's glory. And we read this particular passage, this particular verse, inspiring, I suppose, and showing us that proof. That God is displaying His power so that people might follow Him, so that people might see that He's real, that He's there. And we see other proofs around the place. In fact, even in Genesis 1, where it talks about the light, it's put up there. The light in heavens is put up there as a proof. The stars and the suns and so on is put up there as a proof that God is real, that God does exist. And I suppose we sort of look at that situation, that verse, and go, oh, yes, you know, signs and wonders. And for some, that would be probably something that may easily come to their heart and may easily come to the forefront of their mind when they're out preaching the gospel or out talking to people. But for others, like myself, perhaps, it might not come as easy. It's all right for we sort of look at Paul and, you know, other characters, and we go, oh, you know, it's all right. Well, I sort of do. It's all right for you. You're confident. You're bold. You've got experience. But for the shy, and actually, if you ask my mom and dad, I am very shy, reserved, and inexperienced. For the others, you know, shy, reserved, inexperienced people, we can sometimes make excuses for ourselves someone else can provide those signs and wonders. Obviously, God does it, but someone else can be the vessel. But it's for us. The blessing is for us. And, you know, we might have those excuses, oh, I'm not good enough, or I don't have all the answers, or people won't believe me if I try and, you know, have some prayer for someone and see a sign or wonder. I'm terrible at, being in public, which I feel like I am. You know, I'm terrible at talking in public or talking in groups. I can't possibly talk one-on-one. And I'm not qualified. You know, all these excuses. Do those sound familiar? Don't put up your hands. Do those sound familiar to anyone? Put up your hands in your head. Actually, they should sound familiar. They're actually straight from the Bible, straight from a passage. Let's go to Exodus 3. That first excuse I said there, I'm not good enough. Sometimes, you know, we feel like maybe we're not good enough. Maybe I'm not the one. Maybe I'm not able to. But there's a reminder throughout the scriptures, and this is just one reminder. There's others in the scriptures as well. I wanted to look at this passage of Moses. So a little bit of a classic character here. Moses in Exodus chapter 3, verse 11. And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And so Moses says to God there, after he's been asked to lead the children of Israel here, he's been chosen, he's been picked, he's been told, you're going to be doing this. You're going to be removing them from Israel, from Egypt. And he's been, and Moses' first excuse was, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? I'm not good enough. You know, really? Me? And in verse 12 it says, and he said, certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God upon this mountain. And sometimes we can have that thought. We can have that thought that, you know, am I good enough? Maybe I'm not good enough. But God's reminder here to Moses and applies to us as on a spiritual level. It's like a parallel here. Is that you are? He said, "Certainly, I will be with thee. You are good enough. You've been in this situation here. You've been given a token, Moses." And whether that token is that he's going to be, did we read it there? When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God upon this mountain. Whether that token is that he's going to preach to them, or whether that token was the fiery, the burning bush there that he was operating through, God was operating through. He was given a token, and we have been given a token also. If you think about the burning bush there, the fiery bush, we have also experienced a token. We have also been given that sign, a miracle. Put up your hands if you've spoken in tongues. Yep, everyone almost. You know, you've been given a token. You've been given that sign. The fire of God was placed upon you. We actually have everything we need to get the job done. The Holy Spirit inside us. We've got the Word of God. Because it's dark up here, I'm using this Word of God at the moment. You know, we've got the Word of God. We've got everything we need. We don't need any additional permissions to pray for people, to see God working in their lives, to see signs and miracles and wonders in their lives. We don't need any additional permission. you know, there's plenty other scriptures that from the moment we're filled with the Holy Spirit, God sealed us. He's made us one of his own. Praise the Lord. Second excuse in verse 13, I don't have all the answers. And Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? They're going to ask me stuff, God. They're going to you know, pick at me. They're going to query me. They're going to find out whether I'm real, whether I'm the real deal or not. And I won't know the answers. And what does God say? What does God reply with? He says, and God said, next verse, unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. And God sort of put Moses in his place, didn't he? He said, you know what? This is not about you proving who you are. This isn't about how macho you are, Moses. This isn't about your abilities. This isn't about how bold you are or how amazing you are. This is about, it's not even about us knowing all the answers. God's going to provide them for us. And this is actually about God proving himself through us. Moses, you're a vessel. Sorry to let you know that, but that's all you are. You're a human being that is being used by God, and you know, we can fight that, kick against that if we want to, but really not worth it. At the end of the day, we've been chosen as vessels for God. Remember, I am has sent us. He's there from the beginning and the end. Excuse number three: people won't believe me. Who's going to believe me? In chapter 4, verse 1, so after a bit of to-ing and fro-ing there, God explaining a few things, Moses has another little rant here. Verse 1, and Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord has not appeared unto thee. You know, they won't believe that, you know, it's God that's actually doing something for me. To that, and sometimes it's like us, you know, are they going to believe me? Is it actually going to be, you know, something that they're going to believe that I am there on behalf of God? And to that, God performed a couple of miracles on the spot. He turned the rod into a serpent, and you can read that from verse 2 to 9 there. And he also changed a leprous hand there as well. And God gave him miracles. God backed him up with God backed up his comments to Moses with those miracles. And he said, here you go, there you go. And we've been given that proof as well. We've been filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking tongues. But then along the way, you hear of miracle testimonies, as we've heard even this camp as well. People being healed by God, people laying hands on the sick and them being and them recovering, as we read in Mark 16. And it actually reminds me of that passage in Mark 16, and when the disciples were going to preach the gospel, and he said, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. And he's going to confirm his word with signs following. We've got a brother in our Fremantle house meeting. I'll read a testimony from him. It's Bob Barton. He often, you know, in the Frio house meeting, he gives a testimony every now and then and shares a healing testimony that he's had. And I just asked him to put it down in a text, and he's done that for me. I've been blessed with many provisions from the Lord over the years, and Carol has witnessed, Carol, his wife, many of them also. She's not actually spirit-filled with us. At least 10. And will also vouch that they happened. It is one of the mysteries the Bible talks about, that of being spiritually blind, which is outlined in Saul's conversion in the book of Acts. So he goes on to a testimony. We were in Bali a few years ago, and I had planned to go to the Sunday meeting. However, when I tried to get out of bed, I was completely paralyzed and could barely move, and then drifted in and out of sleep for the next 2 days, only being able to sip water. On the Tuesday, Carol also became ill, with cystitis, which is very painful, and even with antibiotics taken days to recover, something she had often suffered. She laid down with me to sleep in the afternoon with extreme discomfort and pain, so I started praying for both of us as I was still very unwell, not knowing what had affected me. To cut a long story short, I asked for one sentence. to cut a very long story short, the Lord answered my prayers and healed both of us in a very short space of time. So short that we were able to both be out eating dinner within a few hours of my prayers, and we both felt good with neither of us having any effects of the illness. Praise the Lord. And amen. And the power of God working in people's lives, and I don't mean to single out Bob particularly, I just remembered one of his testimonies from the house meeting, and it is good to share those testimonies, whether it's the main meeting or the house meetings. But it is important that, you know, these testimonies are being used, or these healings and miracles and signs and wonders are being used to for people to see. And his wife, who isn't saved, Carol, was able to see that miracle. And there's loads of others who have been healed. There's loads of other people who have stepped out of the boat, as we've heard, stepped out of the boat and in faith, believing in order to see God's work in their lives. The fourth excuse, I'm terrible in public speaking, or I'm terrible at you know, presenting in public. I couldn't possibly stand there and pray for someone. In verse 10, Exodus 4, verse 10, and Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I'm not eloquent. For starters, using the word eloquent. I don't know. I think he saw straight through that one, God did. neither heretofore. Yeah, that's another one. Nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of slow tongue. You know, I can't talk good. the fact that we could probably use the same excuse. You know, I can't lay hands on someone. I can't do that. The Lord said unto him in verse 11. Let's read that one. Lord said unto him, who has made man's mouth, or who makes the dumb or deaf or the seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say. So once again, God reminds him that he's the God. He's going to provide here. He's going to put the words in his mouth. He's going to put the miracles in his hands. And he's not going to make him look like a fool. It's not, luckily for us, it's not about an eloquent speech or a theatrical prayer session where it's just a big show. Luckily for us, it's not about that. We've got a few in theatre, but that's about it. We wouldn't be able to put a full stage show together. And it's never been about that. When you remember back to the scriptures, when you remember back to Acts, it's not about the theatre of it. You know, people the world over are being fooled by eloquent speeches and the theatre of certain, you know, churches and so on. And it's very sad. We're just interested in those God-made miracles. And all the people said, amen. Paul reminds us in 1 Corinthians 2, I won't get you to turn there, but I'm reading it from the NLT, and my message and my preaching were very plain. Rather than using clever and persuasive speeches, I relied only on the power of the Spirit. I did this so you would trust not in human wisdom, but in the power of God. Well, that's it. We don't trust in human wisdom. We're not trying to trust in ourselves, in our own abilities. We're trying to use the power of God and see the power of God working through us in the Holy Spirit. The fifth one, Exodus 4, verse 13. And he said, this is Moses, and he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou will send. Send someone else. Do it with someone else. I'm not going to be the guy. Send someone who's qualified. How about you get someone that's qualified? Is, you know, you got a master's in leading children out of Egypt. you know, he's got a you know, someone. Thinking back, who would actually be qualified for that? I don't know. But get some sort of general or something. And he angered the Lord, verse 14, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. And he said, it is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well. And also, behold, he comes forth to meet thee. And when he sees thee, he will be glad in his heart. And so God ended up solving the problem here by using Aaron at the same time. I suppose the message is making it our opportunity, making it our situations that present themselves, to be constantly looking for those situations and constantly relying on God to give us the words to speak, to give us the teaching to speak, to give us the motivation to pray for someone, see them healed, to see signs and wonders. Let's rely on God. In Jeremiah 9, verse 23, I won't get you to turn there, but it says, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, which exercises loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, says the Lord. So when we are, you know, if we are blessed with certain things, you know, we've got a great, you know, eloquent speech that we can give, then let's just give the glory to God. Through all these situations, when we pray for people and see a healing, the glory goes to God. Colossians 3, just to finish up on. So there's loads of excuses. Moses came up with five. I could probably come up with a few more myself. But, you know, there's loads of excuses we can make. But at the end of the day, we've just got to get out there. Just got to put God's word into action. I'm not saying that we aren't, but let's continue to. Colossians 3 and verse 23. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. And it's great encouragement here that, you know, it doesn't matter what situations we put ourselves, things we do, make sure that we do these things unto God. Make sure that we put these, excuses aside and just think about the Lord and what he wants and his the glory that we're going to give to him. You know, we might have been given one talent. We might have been given five. It might have been 10 or 7.5 or 8.35. Whatever talent you've been given, put that forward. Use it. Let's never think that, you know, oh, there's signs and wonders. That's for him or her or, you know, someone else. Let's never think that. But, you know, because maybe I'm not the right person. That's the kind of thought that we can have. But it's quite the opposite. You're actually the perfect person. You're actually the person that's, you know, got that humility and so on. God loves it when we don't have the skills to do something. He can be glorified through that situation. I love the Nike slogan, just do it. But I think for me, it's just try it. And let's just try it. Well, people said,